And we'll open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. I begin reading in verse 1. Now, if I begin reading while they're handing out, are you able to hold a sheet in hand and listen at the same time? I know most people can, Brother Steve. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth.
Amen.
Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house,
Amen.
Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Amen.
Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house today.
Thank you.
And Lord, I pray as I give forth the message that I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, we need thee this evening.
Amen.
Speak to our hearts. I do pray if someone's here tonight not saved, that tonight they'd come to know Christ as Savior.
Yes.
But Lord, as we look at this stern warning from the Word of God, Lord, not just to the man, but to everyone, that you'd help us to heed the warning from your Word. May your word go forth with power and clarity tonight. Lord, we need thee for everything, for without you we can do nothing. And so help us this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday evening, we had our first birthday and anniversary fellowship. Did y'all enjoy it?
Amen.
It was nice, wasn't it? First one's about a year and a half. And we did again what we typically did every Sunday night of fellowship. We took a moment and we recognized people's birthdays and anniversaries. I like that. I do. Makes everybody smile. Amen. Happy birthday to you, right? Happy anniversary and so forth. Well, Sunday evening, of course, we had several couples stand up. It was their anniversary, but we had two couples in particular that stood up that had, of course, a July anniversary, and we asked them how many years they were married. You were here. If you were here, you remember that. And, of course, we had the Stevens, I think, were one, and they said 60, right? Is that correct? 60 years. And I think the other were the Browns that said 59 years.
Amen.
And what did we do? We applauded.
Amen.
We did. Can I say, and rightfully so, there's others in the church I know that have been married as long or perhaps even longer, and they, of course, would deserve the same applause. So why do we do that? Why did we do that? Why did we think that was so great? Well, there's a reason for it, and of course, we did it for at least two reasons I can think of. Number one is because it is a great testimony and display of God's love.
Amen.
It really is. You see, our God never stops loving us.
Praise the Lord.
That's what he says in his word, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Then he goes on to say in verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should make you smile too.
Amen.
Nothing can separate us in this world or beyond this world.
Hallelujah.
From the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
I'm grateful for that as well.
Imagine
these marriages that display the love of Christ.
Amen.
Through all they've been through, and I'm sure each of them could write a book, and you could too with your long marriage. All the ups and downs of life, all the mountaintop experiences and the valleys, all the struggles and the hurts and the trials and the tribulations and the laughter and the tears. And the disputes and the disagreements, got to throw them in. These couples chose,
Amen.
To never stop loving one another.
Amen.
Just like Jesus Christ does with us.
Praise the Lord.
In my opinion, that's worthy of applause. Amen.
Amen.
But then there's a second reason we applaud it. And that is because longevity in marriage has become more and more of a rare thing.
Right.
More and more. You know, the 2020-2021 divorce statistic, I guess as current as it can be, puts the current divorce rate for first marriages at 42%. Now, they say it's down from the 1980s where it was 50%, and primarily because less people are getting married. That's a whole nother sermon. The current divorce rate for second marriages, you think, well, it's better this. Nope, 67%. And the current divorce rate for third marriages is 73%. That's bad. I was reading an article in a periodical called the Worldwide Christian Community. It said this: surprisingly, recent Christian divorce rate statistics indicate the number of believers ending marriages is keeping pace and in some cases surpassing those of the secular world. In some Protestant denominations, still the article, nearly 58% of first-time marriages end in divorce, with rates of 33 to 38% in others. Now, you think God's people would do a little better?
Right.
Or no better?
Amen.
Why is that? Why are people getting divorced? Well, we could give a lot of reasons, and there are. Perhaps we could say it's a lack of an understanding of what love is. They say it's an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's a decision.
Right.
That decision produces emotion, but it's not an emotion. And that lack of love, their understanding of what love is, translates to a lack of Christ-like commitment to our spouse. Because I'm convinced that every marriage can survive the harshest of storms. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in his right place in the lives of those people, and there is a Christ-like love present in both of them, which includes commitment, which includes forgiveness, which includes grace. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, see what love is all about.
Amen.
But why is marriage so important? Well, marriage is important because it is the God-ordained institution. God ordained it. God created it. God designed it. By the way, you have to say this. Marriage is defined as one man and one woman. That's it for life, raising their biological children God's way. That's the design. And I can say, well, what about this? I understand. But the model is one man, one woman for life, reproducing and raising their biological children for God.
Amen.
That was a mouthful, but that's what it is.
But
it's important because it's God's foundation block to a civilized society. Marriage is, a family is.
Amen.
It is the key to a healthy society.
Amen.
It is God's method of perpetuating a spiritually, emotionally, and physically healthy human race.
Amen.
It's to be done in the home. You want to know how a culture is doing? How a nation is doing, how a society is doing. Look at the marriages.
Amen.
Look at the family unit. Do you want to know how to destroy a nation? Destroy the family.
Right.
Disrupt the family. Dismantle the family. Break up homes. Break up families. And you will see that nation systematically crumble.
Right.
It will. And the devil knows this. By the way, the organization Black Lives Matter, that's a good phrase, but they're not, they don't, what they stand for is not right. They once publicly published their tenets and objectives saying this, that their goal was to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. That's what they said their goal was. And by the way, one of the many tools that the devil uses to destroy the family is what we find in Proverbs chapter 5. He uses the lure of a man by a strange woman.
Right.
That's what he does. Do you know, according to the United States National Institute of Health, they conducted a study on divorced individuals. They reported that, quote, the most commonly reported major contributor to divorce, the most common final straw reason for divorce is infidelity. Infidelity. Can I put it in terms of our text? The strange woman.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong with this message. It takes two to tango, if you know what I mean. Two decisions are made there. We're not blaming anyone. But here there's a warning here about the strange woman. And I'd like you to notice verse 8 of our text. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house.
Amen.
That's a warning for all of us.
Right.
So tonight I'd like to preach on that subject as we deal with this Wisdom from Above series. The wisdom of avoiding the strange woman.
Amen.
The wisdom of avoiding the strange woman. Now, here in our text, as we've been seeing all along in the book of Proverbs, we find Solomon, the human penman of the book, speaking to his son about something. My son, he says again and again in this book, a father giving advice, if you will, to a son. But beyond that, it is God's word given to us.
Amen.
To all of us. And he's dealing here with a subject that he's already touched on a little bit earlier in chapter 2, but he's now going to go a little bit more extensively into it, and several more times in the book of Proverbs. It's the subject of the strange woman. The strange woman. And by the way, this message, don't check out on me tonight. You should say, well, this is for all the guys. I guess all the ladies should go to sleep. No, this is a message that applies to every person. Look at verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. Everybody listen to this. Because it's something that affects everybody. By the way, wifey, you need to recognize this as well.
Amen.
You need to see it when it happens. This is to
all,
to the young, to the old, but especially, no doubt, especially to the married man.
Amen.
Even wives and potential wives, listen and understand what your husband or future husband has to deal with. The strange woman. She's out there. Six times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon mentions to his son the subject of the strange woman. If you flip over a page and look at chapter 2 and verse 16, we read, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." He also deals extensively here in chapter 5, almost the entire, really, see, maybe the first two introductory verses, but the entire chapter is dedicated to this strange woman and instruction on her. And then again, flip over to chapter 6. We'll look at this a little later, verses 24 down to verse 35, again dealing with the strange woman. And then chapter 7, again, essentially another entire chapter on the strange woman. Sounds like it's important to me.
Amen.
Something we need to heed.
Right.
And every single time he mentions it in the book of Proverbs, every single time it's mentioned in the Word of God, the admonition is the same. Beware of the strange woman. Stay away from the strange woman. Watch out for the strange
Amen.
Woman. And so tonight I want to kind of take apart this, I guess should say this chapter, because I read the whole thing. And see what kind of insight, what kind of wisdom we can get from God about avoiding and understanding the strange woman. Notice number one, if you'd write this down, please, the temptation of the strange woman. Look at verses 1 through 3. "My son, attend to unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Notice the temptation that's there.
Right.
There's a temptation here.
Right.
You see, this entire chapter is about avoiding any physical intimacy outside of biblical marriage. We could go on and say emotional intimacy as well, because you got to watch that also. Now, I'm going to try to be as discreet as possible, and perhaps it's a good week to do this since the young ones are at camp. But understand that physical intimacy is something that God has designed.
Amen.
He created it. He ordained it not only to procreate the human race, but also as a way of expressing our love to our spouse. As a way of experiencing the closest possible emotional intimacy and emotional bond with our spouse. And even enjoying the physical part of our relationship. Preacher, did you say that? Well, the Bible teaches that.
Amen.
It really does. Notice some of the verses in our text, verses 18 and 19. Some of you kind of cringed when I read it, probably. "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled." Read the Song of Solomon. It is really an expression of the pure love, a holy love, if you will, and the physical aspect that exists between a husband and a wife.
Amen.
You know, even when God told Sarah that she and Abraham were going to have a baby, it's interesting how she put it, being of the age she was. She says in Genesis 18:12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" So my point is, it's not a sin, it is not wrong in its proper place and in its proper time to have physical intimacy with your spouse.
Amen.
All right, amen. Amen, amen. It's a green light from God, amen. In fact, there is a danger, watch this, there's a danger if that is not a part of your marriage.
Right, amen.
Sure is. If it's physically possible and there's no health limitations, I'm barring all of that. I understand things happen in the body. But 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife."
Amen.
And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband rather render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Now watch this. Defraud ye not one another. In other words, don't withhold yourself one from one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may be yourselves, or give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So again, I say there's a danger if that's not a part of your marriage, if it's physically possible. But physical intimacy is something that God has designed to take place within the marriage and within the marriage alone.
Amen.
If it's outside of marriage, it's sin.
Amen.
It's wrong.
Amen.
It's against God's word. Any form of physical intimacy before marriage is sin. And any physical intimacy with someone other than your spouse while you are married is sin. Again, it's something that God has designed for you and your spouse alone. That's why God said in 1 Corinthians 7:1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He's talking about an unmarried person being intimate with someone else, touching them in a sensual way. It doesn't mean you can't shake somebody's hand. Don't be intimate if it's not your wife. So here Solomon is warning his son, watch this, with all that in perspective that I just said, that there is a temptation that he is going to have to deal with as a man.
Right.
It is a temptation of the strange woman.
Amen.
The temptation to engage in physical intimacy outside of marriage. You see, a strange woman, that's an interesting phrase. You say, I know a lot of strange. A strange woman, simply put, is this. Any female that is not your wife.
Amen.
If she's not your wife, she's not yours.
Right.
She's not yours. Now, notice how this woman is described. He says in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil.
Oh, yes.
You see, the strange woman is a woman who entices men with her words. She flatters the man. She, if you will, strokes his ego. It is a woman who has very little inhibition. She knows what she wants. She is willing to engage in an affair. Doesn't bother her. She's open for a fling. She's looking for a taker. She is a promiscuous flirt. And to the strange woman, it doesn't matter to her if you're married. It doesn't matter to her if you have children. It doesn't matter to her if you say, I'm happy in my marriage. She has a goal and knows how to sweet talk her prey. By the way, she is both persistent and patient. You see, she's just waiting for a moment of weakness. When you come into work and you had an argument with your wife, she capitalizes on that. When things aren't going well at home, or the kids were just a mess the night before and you come in frustrated, she capitalizes on those moments. She's a strange woman, and strange women are out there. They're out there. By the way, the strange woman, she could be working at your office. She could be waiting on you at the restaurant. She could be your next door neighbor. She could be someone you meet at a social gathering. She could even be a stranger walking by, or a stranger working at the cash register. You might even find her, or she might find you on the internet, just surfing around. I don't know if they use that term anymore, but they did at the beginning. She may be someone who's a friend of a friend of a friend or whatever on Facebook. My point is this, is they are out there, and you as a man, you as a wife, better beware.
Amen.
Because she's out there. Now notice Solomon tells him to watch two things concerning his temptation. The first one is this, is write it down, his discretion. Now watch what he says here in, where are we at here, verse 2. He says, let me just read verse 1 and 2. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Watch this. That thou, you son, mayest regard discretion. Can I put it in perhaps a raw phrase? Don't be stupid. Don't do something dumb. Use discretion. Think. Be discreet. Listen, young man, Dad is saying here, Solomon to his son, don't think that she just wants to be your friend. Don't think that she just happens to be nice to you. Don't think that she just, I just want a little counseling. You know, I need help in my life. Don't think she just needs somebody to talk to or to text with or to sit down somewhere and have a cup of coffee with. Don't be foolish. I don't think it's right for any man that's married to have a close woman friend.
Amen.
And vice versa.
Amen.
I just don't. Why is that? Because of our sin nature. Right. And I don't think it looks good either. So don't think that she wants to be your friend. Don't think she's looking for counseling. There's more to it. She is fishing. She is flirting. And by the way, if you're in doubt, just ask your wife. Hey, honey, what do you think about this? She'll tell you real fast what she thinks about it, you know. Oh, that's why you don't tell her about it, because you know what she'll think. You know what she's going to say. Because it's wrong. You see, because if you don't use discretion, he's saying, hey, listen up. Use discretion here. Regard discretion. If you don't, you're most likely not going to be able to resist a temptation. Well, preacher, come on. I can handle a cup of coffee with a girl. We'll see about that. Let's see what God says about that.
Amen.
So again, watch his discretion. But then he says another thing for him to watch, and that is watch his discussion. He says here, that verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Better watch what you say.
Amen.
Watch what you say to her, and watch what you say about her to your friends. Guard your lips. Avoid talking about the prospect of, wow, you know, boy, she'd be a nice one to have. Don't even joke about it. Don't chime in with others. Do not do that. Don't say things like this. Well, if I wasn't married. Stop.
Amen.
You are married.
Amen.
Oh, when she walks by, don't say things like this. You look nice today. Well, that's a nice outfit you got on. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a man that's married saying to another woman, boy, you look nice today. You have a nice outfit on. Please, come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. Well, if I were 10 years younger, you know. Stop. Stop already. You know what you're doing? You're doing nothing but stirring up temptations. That's why he says here, watch your discretion. Don't be foolish. Understand what she's after. And watch your discussion. Watch what you say. Guard your lips about this thing.
Amen.
It's not funny. It's not a joke.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the temptation of the strange woman. It's a very real thing.
Right.
But then I notice, number two, the truth about the strange one. Well, God's going to throw in a little reality here. He's going to say, as you're looking at those lips that drop as a honeycomb and her mouth that's smoother than oil, before you can go a second further, notice verse 4 through 6. But her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them.
Amen.
See, you got the wheels going in your mind when you see her. And she starts talking sweet to you. You start thinking, wow, she's a nice girl. Man, she looks nice. Boy, she'd be a lot better than what I have. Nothing of the sort.
Amen.
You're a fool.
Amen.
You're an absolute fool. You have deceived yourself. And what you think you want, if you get it, one day you're going to wish you never did. Now notice the two things he's told to consider. The truth about, would you write this down, his end. He's going to tell him how this thing's going to end. More about this later. But notice it begins with the honeycomb and the mouth that's smoother than oil. But then we read, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Her sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. You see, what begins as a look or a glance and then develops into a stare, an eye contact. And then it develops into flirtatious innuendos. And then perhaps a playful touch or a brush of the arm will end up destroying your family, destroying your children, and destroying your life.
Amen.
It's funny, at the beginning it looks so good. Honey goes to wormwood. I like honey. I don't like bitter stuff.
Right.
That's just, looks like honey. Oof, it's bitter.
Amen.
What looks smooth as oil becomes, notice the contrast, as sharp as a two-edged sword. And then we hear her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. That's where this thing ends.
Right.
He's telling his son. You may be staring at those lips that are like a honeycomb and smooth as oil, but I'll tell you where it's going to end. It's not going to end good at all.
Amen.
So he says, consider the end, or his end. But then in verse 6, I thought this was kind of interesting. Also, consider your mind.
Amen.
You see, this thing that you think is going to be so wonderful, it's going to end up so bad.
Right.
Think about how it's going to end, but also think about what it does to your mind. I've seen it as a pastor. I've seen it in people's lives. Look at verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. You see, something happens to the mind when a man goes down this road. When he takes a step in that direction. Once you take a step in that direction, you stop thinking straight. You stop thinking clearly. You forget about things. Forget about your wife. You forget about your marriage vows. You forget about your children.
Right.
You forget about reality. And you even forget about God. You see, when you take a step in that direction, understand, all reasoning goes out the window.
Right.
And you become a different person. It's as if you become addicted to a drug when you go down that path. You see, this is the truth.
Right.
On the surface, man, looks good. Look at that. If that wife only had that. But reality is this. It's going to end bad.
Right.
And it's going to affect your mind.
Amen.
You see, she changes you into another man.
Right.
And it's not a good one.
Amen.
So we see the temptation of the strange woman. Number two, we see the truth about the strange woman. Then notice number three, the teaching concerning the strange woman. So what do we do? Notice this. In verse 7, hear me now, therefore. How many parents are we having? Right? You said this, I'm sure. Listen up.
Amen.
Right? Sometimes I don't like to snap, but some people go, listen up. That's saying you need to listen to what I'm saying. This is very important. That's what he's saying here. Hear me now, therefore. In other words, the strange woman is there, and the truth is it may look good, but it ain't going to end good. So how do I deal with it? Here's what he said. Therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. That's not hard to understand, is it?
Amen.
See, the advice is simple, and it's sure. It is easy to understand. Here's what he says. You separate yourself as far as you can from such a woman as that. Remove yourself from her. Don't go near where she is. Avoid her. Dodge her. Get as far away as possible from her.
Amen.
But actually, it goes a little even a little further than that. He says, come not nigh the door of her house.
Right.
You don't even know she's there. But you know she might. She might come out of that house. So that means if there's a place that you know that there is a possibility of running into her, don't go there. Stop going to that restaurant she works at. Stop going to that store where she's a cashier. Stop going by the place you know she hangs out. Stop. You see, this is God's remedy. This is God's solution. This is God's instruction for all of us. By the way, if you do that long enough, she's going to seek somebody else.
Amen.
She will. Preacher, you're making a big deal out of this stuff. Come on, what are we, kids? What do you think, we're little irresponsible children and we can't handle ourselves? Am I really making a big deal out of this? What does God say?
Amen.
You know, between 30 and 40% of American spouses are currently cheating on their spouses.
Amen.
30 to 40% right now. And this is kind of interesting. I didn't want to read this because I'm in this age category. But the highest infidelity rate is amongst 51 to 59-year-olds.
Hello.
Not much, but a little bit higher. And it's the number one cause of divorce in America. Infidelity. You see, we shouldn't play with God's commands. We shouldn't
Amen.
Test God's commands. We shouldn't say, well, that's what God said. I can handle it. You can't.
Amen.
God says, stay away.
Amen.
And we must.
Amen.
That's the teaching concerning the strange one. Then number four, we have this. Not only the temptation, the truth, the teaching. Notice number four, the trouble when involved with a strange woman. So you may think so. What's the big deal? I just play around with fire. Well, let's see about that. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27. Let's see about that here for a minute. Notice the context of what he says. Here's a rhetorical question. Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? What's the answer to that?
No.
Okay. You want to try it? Go ahead. I'm not going to try it. Okay. Light something on fire and do this. Oh, right? It's great. You're going to get burned. Well, it might not. Go ahead and try it. I'm not trying it because you're going to get burned. You can't do it. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Want to try that too? How many use coal to barbecue with, the charcoal? Anybody still do that? Some of you like that. You like that? Right. When you're done, throw it on the ground and walk on it. You see what that see how that feels. Tell us. Be a walking testimony to this here. The answer is no. Watch this. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent.
Amen.
Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul.
Amen.
A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest him many gifts.
Amen.
You go down that road, trouble. Thank God for his forgiveness and restoration, no matter what we do. Thank God for that. But you go down that road, it's going to be trouble. Go back to our text. Listen to what God declares will happen if you engage in sexual activity outside of marriage. Look at verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Write this down. The first thing you'll lose is you'll lose your honor.
Amen.
You'll lose your honor. Think of how David's honor was stained. Mm-hmm. David the king, the man after God's own heart. Why? Because of his involvement with another woman. Over 1,000 years later, in Matthew 1:6, with the genealogies, as it's writing the genealogies, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. It followed him the rest of his life and beyond.
Yes.
Brought a reproach. Think of Samson and how his relationship with Delilah disgraced him. Think of how many preachers who have committed adultery during their lifetime that you've seen and I've seen that are out of the ministry now. There's a lot of casualties. This thing doesn't play around. I think of men and women who have the mark of shame that others will never forget. Well, that's the one, you know, that's, yeah. Yeah, he's saying amen now, but you know. You see, even if it's forgiven, and it is, God forgives all things, their honor is tainted because of this act.
Right.
You lose your honor.
Amen.
But then notice number two, you lose your wealth.
Right.
You lose your wealth. Verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Years ago, there was an article in the Baptist press described two preachers that were guilty of immorality. And they just lost. Here's what the article said. They've lost their marriage. They've lost their job. They lost a lot of friends in the sense it will never be the same. They've lost custody of their children. And now they're both doing something they really don't want to do. They're just getting by. Not just this kind of wealth, but the wealth of life. You lose it. But then thirdly, would you write this down? Verse 11 tells us we'll lose our health as well. You see what he mean? And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You lose your honor, you lose your wealth, you lose your health. Do you know what sin brings? It brings death.
Right.
That's what it does. That's why most of the time we're up here preaching, don't do that, don't go there, stop this, let's not do this, you can't do this. You know why? Because over that cliff that we don't want you to walk over, it's a precipice. It goes down to a valley where all these broken lives are, and some of them can't even be put back together, right, because of the damage that's been done.
Amen.
Why jump off the cliff if you don't have to?
Right.
It brings death, sin does. And it might think about all the diseases that are a potential there. And then think of the guilt that is there. And that guilt brings people to depression at times. Sometimes even drug and alcohol abuse. And that type of thing breaks down the body.
Right.
And then fourthly, the loss of your testimony.
Amen.
You see, those who follow the strange woman are temporarily blinded by lust. They're blinded. They're blinded. I'm thinking of things I can't even say right now. I mean, situations, I just don't want to bring them up. But many times they wake up and they scratch their head and realize I've lost so much. I've lost so much. And they're filled with remorse over things they cannot change, over things they cannot undo. And they ask themselves, why didn't I listen? But the damage has been done. Sometimes irreparable. You see, there's trouble if you're going to go down that road. All of us. And by the way, it's possible for anybody.
Right.
We just stay far, far away.
Amen.
From the strange woman.
Right.
And then lastly, we're done, number five. Not only the temptation of the strange woman, the truth about the strange woman, the teaching concerning the strange woman, the trouble when involved with the strange woman. And then lastly, I like this one, the thankfulness for your wife.
Amen.
Amen.
Notice what he says here. Drink waters out of thine own cistern.
Amen.
Drink out of your own well.
Right.
Don't go to your neighbor's well. You got a good well there.
Praise the Lord.
Drink out of your own well, your own place, he says, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, notice, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
Amen.
Listen, God gave you a wife if you're married.
Praise the Lord.
He gave you a wife.
Amen.
And even if you weren't saved or right with God when you got married, she is still God's will for your life. She is God's will.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And vice versa, by the way, ladies.
Right.
And having a wife is a good thing.
Amen.
The Bible says, Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. God said to Adam in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. Here she is.
Amen.
Yes. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all.
Amen.
And God's telling us here, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Be ravished always with her love. You've forgotten what you have.
Amen.
The blessing you have. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what we're commanded to do. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And there's no perfect person in this world. We get that. There's no perfect husband. There's no perfect wife. But I'll tell you what, if she loves God and loves you, and puts up with you,
amen.
Count your blessings.
Amen.
My Lord, my Lord.
Hey, do this when you go home. Look in the mirror. Just take a look at yourself. You'll be happy she's still with you.
Amen.
Think about yourself.
Amen.
And you'll wonder, heck, anybody put up with me? I think of these couples, 60 years, 59 years. That's work. But it's worth it. And you know what's helped them all along the way? Keeping their eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
And that'll help you too.
Amen.
You see, what you think is out there really isn't. It's not. And what you think you are, you're really not. You know. Okay, so you did a few curls today. You ran a half a mile today, and you're already looking at yourself in the mirror, like, yeah, look at me. Come on now, come on now. You're really not. We're not all that. Be wise, and avoid the strange woman. Amen. Let's pray.